We're the Fair Intellectuals, a club of high degree. Peish, Bell, and Alison, and Gurween, Marjorie. And we're all gone east and west, we're all gone IAG. Peish, Bell, and Alison, and Gurween, Marjorie.
I hope Alison is all right out there. These storms must be God's vengeance. But what angers him? I will admit that I did have an impure thought last week.
Marjorie, if the Almighty is punishing impurity, then he will not be pleased about what I did with that stable hand from Selkirk last weekend. This weather could go on for months.
Good morning, Ishbel. Marjorie.
Oh, I'm soaked through.
Indeed, Alison. Your cloak is wetter than a Dundonian's kiss.
You know, I love Scotland, but sometimes I think it would be nice to go somewhere that wasn't so constantly dreary.
Marjorie, dearest, you are soon to be wed. Maybe your aged groom will take you on an exotic honeymoon.
Mr. Boggart's ill health precludes foreign travel at this time. We shall spend a week at the beach in Inverkeithing, applying the healing sludge of Fife's leg cankers.
Every girl's dream. Alas, my hopes of overseas adventure have also been dashed.
But Ishbel, what about your plan to marry a French count and live in the Mediterranean sunshine eating fresh figs?
My parents have decided I am to be married to the Earl of Linlithgow. The only figs I shall eat will be dried up and wrinkled, much like the Earl himself.
Oh, we shall all be stuck here forever. You two with your elderly husbands and me with my idiot brother Robert. What misery.
Ladies, the storms have caused boats to be washed ashore at the port of Leith. They are asking for volunteers to take in stranded travellers.
Ishbel, you must help these poor wretches.
There's a large group outside, all seeking shelter.
Oh, get me a young man.
A young man? Why?
People always look after the women and children, and I am just eager that the poor young men do not get neglected. Get a big one if you can. Tall and strong, with plenty of stamina. Preferably a Spaniard. Maybe a couple of Spaniards.
Very good, Miss Ishbel.
Passage of time.
Passage of time.
Passage of time.
Ladies, may I present Mr. Brian Fryer? No, Mr. Bunko Flodkin.
Franklin's your name? Benjamin Franklin. Just a regular Joe from across the pond. Say, you dames sure look swell. You're straight up and down hot patooties.
Is he Spanish? What on earth is he on about?
I believe he hails from America, the land we know as the New World.
You got it, Toots. Damn straight.
Sir, there is no call for profanity.
Hey, cool it, sister. Don't blow your wig off. I've been down in the big smoke at a jumping clam bake, see? I hop a ride in a sailboat, and next thing I know, I winds up in this one-horse town chewing the fat with you high-class broads.
I think he's saying he was in London for some kind of social engagement, and when his ship was blown, of course, he found himself in Edinburgh talking to us high-class broads.
Pray, Mr. Franklin, tell us of your world. I do so love to hear exotic tales. Could you speak a little more plainly, though?
Ours is a tough, unforgiving land. We pioneers are constantly beset by a dreadful lack of supplies, and we are tormented by the savage natives.
To be fair, they were there first. Can't blame them for being a bit miffed.
They're big, burly men who wear only minimal clothing.
How shocking! Are they terribly burly? How minimal is the clothing?
It must be hard building up a new country, but also a marvellous challenge.
Well, we must be ingenious. I feel that many of the new scientific ideas may be most helpful to us. I myself am a keen inventor.
Really? What are you working on at the moment?
I believe that there must be some form of energy that could power great machines. Something other than oil or coal that might make heat and light.
Fascinating. But where might this energy come from?
Search me, dollface. I ain't got a clue.
So, did you cross the Atlantic to pursue these ideas?
No, I hopped over the water to try and find me an old lady, but all the broads down south gave me the kiss off.
Oh, Mr. Franklin. I love all this saucy talk of kisses down south. I bet the ladies in London loved you.
Ah, they gave me the bum's rush. They all blew me off.
Lucky you!
Ishbel, he's saying he came to these islands to find a wife, but all the ladies in London rejected him.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised. Who'd want to marry an American? America sounds awful, apart from the burly natives. I mean, all that hard work and deprivation.
Yes, to risk that long sea crossing only for a thankless life of toil on the other side, a woman would have to be in a very wretched position in her own life to contemplate it.
Yes, she really would have to be in a desperate situation.
Hello!
Mr. Franklin, this is our friend Marjorie. She's the daughter of a penniless clergyman, and she's being forced to marry an elderly, disease-riddled suitor whom she does not love.
Marjorie, this is Mr. Benjamin Franklin. He's American.
Oh, my goodness. What a handsome gentleman.
Hot mama. You've got the kind of curves that could make a bishop kick a hole in a stained glass window.
Thank you. Was that a compliment?
Indeed it was. Mr. Franklin has been in London looking for a wife to take back to the New World.
But of course no lady wished to undergo that sea crossing. Weeks and weeks of living on nothing but biscuits and thin gruel.
Why, that is my customary diet.
And then, when you get there, not to do but preach the Bible to heathens.
The chance to talk about religion all day long. To create a country where the Christian faith is taken seriously. Imagine how meek, gentle and peaceful such a land would be.
I'd sure love to build that land with your sweet cheeks.
Oh, Mr. Franklin.
Ah, but I'm just dreaming. The very idea that a classy dame like you would ever look at a punk like me.
I don't know what a punk is, but you're a very attractive one.
And you're a stone-cold fox with lips like rubies.
Oh, they're just a bit chapped, what with the winds and everything. Do you really think I'm a fox?
Sure, but I don't want to come between you and this other fella.
Oh, yes, my fiancé. It is true, I'm promised to another.
Ah, hell. But I want to kiss those lips. I better scram before I do something we both regret.
Oh, yes, let's not do anything regrettable.
Say, is there anywhere a wise guy can grab a bite round here?
I believe he's hungry. Kennedy!
Yes, Miss Allison?
Could you take Mr. Franklin away for some refreshment, please?
Hey, Mac. Just give me a cup of java and some eggs over easy.
Very good, sir. A nice bowl of dry oats it is.
What a fascinating gentleman.
Marjorie, there was such an attraction between you. I have never seen anything like it.
Ishbel, I was merely intrigued by his talk of America. I would so love to see that land.
Maybe someday your fiancé will take you there.
No, he attempted to go once before, but turned back after finding himself in such an alien, dismal, dangerous, lawless place.
Did he land in New York?
Oh, no. He never made it onto the boat. I was talking about Leith.
Madam Ishbel, you have another visitor.
Kennedy, what have you done to your hair? It's standing clean on end.
And why is your flesh blackened?
And why is it sizzling?
Ah, my ladies, sad to say I have been struck by lightning. Again.
Again? But lightning strikes are deadly. Surely no man could survive it twice.
15 times I have been struck over the years, Miss Allison. Luckily, it seems to have had no adverse effect on me. The only side effect I've noticed is a constant tingling sensation in my buttocks. It's not unpleasant.
Right.
And this latest strike appears to have made me able to speak French. Écoutez, mesdames, je parle français. Par un beau jour d'été, les oiseaux chantent dans les arbres. Peut-être. I could never do that before.
Lightning is such a mysterious force. If there were only some way to harness its terrible power.
Mademoiselle Allison, votre frère est à l'extérieur.
My idiot brother Robert.
Entrez, monsieur.
Hello, sis. Do you have a Frenchman in here?
No. What do you want?
Me and the chaps in my club have invented a new game.
Robert, this will just be another way for them to take money from you. Remember, hold my shoe.
Hold my shoe.
Oh, that was brilliant. Monty McLeish came up with it. You had to take off your shoe and then another fellow had to hold it.
Yes, and then?
I don't really know, but I've never won a game. Duncan Bosworth has made £100 off me.
Oh,
Robert.
Anyway, I totally understand this new game. You know it's quite stormy right now and the waters are a bit choppy. Well, we thought instead of running away from the waves, why not get a big plank of wood, run into the sea, and when the waves are at their highest, we stand up on the big plank of wood and get it to carry us to shore.
What an utterly dangerous and idiotic enterprise.
Because we are enthralled to the power of the waves, like the peasant's serfs enthralled to their feudal masters, we call it...
Surfing?
No, peasanting. Although, actually, surfing does sound better.
I really cannot see that catching on.
I love it. Can we come and watch?
Yeah, we're going to go peasanting tonight. I just came to see if you had any big planks of wood we could borrow.
This ornate wardrobe was merely a present to my father from Louis XIV of France. I'm sure it is utterly worthless. You may have it.
Brilliant. I'll take it down to Kennedy in his kitchen to break it apart. I'll just pick it up. Oh, that's quite heavy. Hard to get any purchase.
Why don't you take your shoes off to get a better grip?
Yeah, if you could just hold my shoe...
That'll be 5 guineas.
Oh, you are good. Let's go peasanting now. Everybody's learning how. Come on and peasant with me.
Later that night.
Six of clubs. Nope, can't put that anywhere.
Hey, Angel Face. That cat Kennedy said I'd find you here.
Oh, Mr. Franklin, I was just playing a game of solitaire. Perhaps you'd care to join me?
I've been playing solitaire too long, Marjorie. I used to think love was the old fadinkus, but I ain't never met a Judy like you before. Come away with me, Marjorie. Let's quit this joint and head back to Philly. Well, I can't promise you fine clothes or fancy living or a sense of latitude towards gun ownership, but a wise guy like me could have a lot of use for a dame like you.
But my family, my fiancé.
Oh, Marjorie, inside of us, we both know that you belong with me. I'm sailing tonight, and if that boat leaves and you're not on it, you'll regret it. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, and for the rest of your life.
Yes, Mr. Franklin, I'll come with you.
Was that thunder or just my heart pounding?
Kiss me, as though... as though it was the last time.
Marjorie! Mr. Franklin!
Oh, they're kissing.
Well, I'm just happy as a clam because this little muffin's gonna take my hand.
What?
We're running away together? At least, I think that's what he means.
Oh, Marjorie, how glorious!
But Marjorie, what about your family, your fiancé?
I'm just a poor sap right now, but I'm going to make a whole heap of dough if my experiments in power work out.
Oh, where do you expect to find this ridiculous energy you keep talking about? Do you really imagine inspiration will simply be bestowed from above? Hang on, I've just had an idea.
Oh, Marjorie, I always thought that I would be the one to go and live abroad.
Well, why don't you come with us? You could escape your marriage to the Earl of Linlithgow.
Oh, I don't know. America's a very long way away.
It's not so far. Let me show you on this map.
Is this bit the New World? So, where is Pennsylvania? Is this it?
No, that's Wales. This is Pennsylvania.
Is that it? It's tiny. Where would I keep my ponies? No, I'm not going.
It's probably best that you don't, madam.
Why so?
Well, this is a great shame on our nation. But because so few women survive the perilous sea crossing, there's a great shortage of ladies. Consequently, a broad with a bosom as magnificent as yours would be constantly bombarded with male attention.
Do go on.
Sadly, the men of our land are entranced by a pretty face and a shapely pair of gams.
I think he means legs.
Alas, with the hard physical toil and the constant threat from natives, the expectancy of life in males is short. Most ladies are forced to endure numerous brief marriages.
How brief?
Many unions last a mere matter of months. I know one gal who was widowed and married 4 times in 1 year. Imagine having to get jiggy with a different man that often.
I'm imagining it right now. Mr. Franklin, Marjorie, I shall accompany you. Now we just have to persuade Alison to come with us.
Never.
But you could be of so much help to dear Mr. Franklin in his experiments.
I have a fully equipped laboratory back in Philadelphia that you'd be welcome to share. And Kennedy said you're a real wizard math.
Do you mean maths?
Yeah, I must be careful not to keep saying it wrong. I'd hate it if that caught on.
Well, something just occurred to me about your notion of a power source. In fact, I have been doing some calculations in my head. But no, how could I live somewhere called New England?
It may be called New England, but you'll be a lot further away from the actual English.
I suppose so.
I hate those limey swine. They tax us to within an inch of our lives, and what do we get in return? Nada. Why, I'd like to give them all a good shock and a kisser.
I feel exactly the same.
I want to shake them off as soon as possible.
Me too.
In fact, I estimate that we will be independent from England by, oh, I don't know, approximately the 4th of July, 1776. Who knows if Scotland will have achieved independence by then?
Yes, it may take just a couple of years longer than that.
Very well, I'll go with you, Mr. Franklin.
Darn tootin'.
Ken, the way to Kennedy's kitchen.
Ken, the way to Kennedy's kitchen. Kennedy? Kennedy?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Bell.
Oh, you've stopped speaking French.
Yes, the powers have waned, but the tingling buttocks continue. Hey, I was just breaking up your old wardrobe for the gentleman's peasanting contest this evening. Ugh, it feels good to wield this axe again. And this soft rosewood gives quite easily, almost as easily as human flesh.
Yes. Right, Kennedy. I need you to find as many trunks and packing cases as you can.
Very good, Mrs. Spell. Are we going to take a trip somewhere?
Oh, darling Kennedy, I cannot lie to you. But it is best that you don't know.
Miss Ishbel, your parents entrusted me with ensuring that your virtue remains untarnished. And I have kept a watchful eye on you for so many years now. You cannot have any secrets from me.
I must confess that I may have kept one or two things from you. Like, you remember that time I said I was walking strangely because I had overexerted myself on my horse?
Aye. You're such a keen horsewoman. So many weekends you have ended up flat on your back from too much riding. Saddle sore from taking some spirited mount between your legs.
Well, yes, actually, Kennedy, there is an element of truth to that.
If you're involved in some youthful hijinks, do not be afraid to tell me now.
All right, Kennedy. The young American who came to the house has won Miss Marjorie's heart. Apparently he is a big cheese in the new world. Marjorie plans to elope with him abroad, and Alison and I are going with them. We leave tonight on a boat for Philadelphia.
Ah, I understand completely.
You do?
Yes, something about Philadelphia cheese. I don't know what it is, but it sounds delicious.
Kennedy, you must come with us. You could make a new life for yourself in America too.
Miss Ishbel, I would follow you to the ends of the earth.
Well, yes, that's actually what I'm asking you to do. Will you pack up all our things?
I will. Oh, the thought of all that delicious cheese.
Look, I'm not sure if there will actually be cheese.
No matter. I shall begin packing now.
Oh, Kennedy, I can only hope that in America they will look a little more favourably on scatterbrained buffoons with homicidal tendencies.
I am almost sure they will.
Later on,
somewhere else,
in Miss Ishbel's house.
Marjorie, are you prepared?
Yes, I have brought along everything I anticipate I shall need for our journey.
Is that it?
Well, just my Bible and two sets of clean undergarments. I'm confident that God shall provide anything else I require.
And Alison, you also seem to have packed very sparingly.
A copy of Mr. Newton's Principia Mathematica is all that I require to bring the light of science to the dark recesses of the colonies. And obviously I have brought one set of clean undergarments.
And Kennedy, you appear simply to have a jar of quince jam.
Aye, well, I thought it might go nicely with the cheese.
And no clean undergarments.
I didn't really see the need.
But Ishbel, you appear to have brought nothing at all.
Oh, Kennedy has already loaded my trunks onto the carriage.
Aye, 26 cases all loaded on. I was struck by lightning 5 times as I loaded them. But anything for my sweet Miss Ishbel.
Mr. Franklin should be here any moment now. Oh, I think I hear him approaching.
Hello, ladies and Kennedy.
I see you're all dressed and ready for the peasanting party down at the docks. But why are you bringing these books? And these underclothes? And this jam? And the massive trunks outside the door?
Robert, we are running away. Mr. Franklin, the American, is taking us all to the New World to escape the misery of life in Scotland.
All right. Can I come?
Why on earth would you give up your life of comfort here?
If you're doing it, sis, it must be the right thing to do. You are so brainy. You always do the right thing. Plus, you're my favourite member of our family. I would miss you too much. And who would tie my shoelaces?
Oh, Robert, of course you must come.
I can still go to the peasanting party before we leave, though, right?
Yes, Robert.
I got it all arranged. The boat leaves in 3 hours.
Kennedy, Robert, carry our cases out to the carriage and set forth for the docks.
Here, Mr. Robert, could you hold this case full of shoes?
Aye, right.
You owe me 100 guineas.
Shortly we shall bring the light of God to the new world.
And the light of reason and knowledge.
I am really looking forward to meeting some sailors. Oh, will we make the crossing in this dreadful storm? Come, we must away. The door of the chamber. It's locked.
But who could have locked it?
Look, outside. Kennedy and Robert, they are shouting something. Quick, open the window.
What is it? Why are we locked in?
Mr. Boggart has received word of your plan to elope. He has locked you inside and gone to get the police. He intends to have Mr. Franklin arrested.
This cannot be. What can we do? Kennedy, do you not have a spare key?
Aye, but I cannot get into the house. Mr. Boggart has tied us to the carriage. He is remarkably strong for an elderly, ailing gentleman.
If they could only get a key up to us.
It's too far to throw it. Robert, is that a kite you're holding?
Aye. Me and the lads were going to attach it to our peasant boards to see if we could go quicker.
Kennedy, attach the key to the kite and fly it up to the window. Oh, hurry, Kennedy, we have not much time.
Oh, no. My fiancé returns with the police.
Oh, he shouldn't be out in this weather with his weak chest.
He looks mighty angry.
No, his galloping palsy causes facial spasms. He always looks like that.
Right, here we go. Up, up and away.
Mr. Franklin, hold me out of the window that I may reach the key.
Be careful. This is a fierce storm. You don't want to fall to the sidewalk and land on your fanny.
Don't worry. It's very robust.
Oh, no. Mr. Boggart has hold of Kennedy. They're tussling.
Robert, grab hold of Kennedy's arms and send the kite this way.
I've got the key.
Oh, Kennedy. Oh, he's been struck by lightning yet again.
And it looks like young Robert and the old-timer got it pretty badly, too.
Oh, poor Mr. Boggart. I think he's dead. I have the key now. Quick, let us hurry to their aid.
Darn tootin'. This is a disaster.
Passage of time.
Passage of time.
Passage of time. Ishbel, Alison, that looked like a terribly big lightning strike. I hope the gentlemen are all right.
Well, a doctor is attending to them now.
Oh, Kennedy, you're alive.
Ah, nothing my buttocks couldn't handle. And I seem to have developed the ability to play the fiddle.
Lovely.
I'm not so sure poor old Mr. Boggart has fared so well, though.
Oh, my betrothed. I should never have betrayed him.
Come on, Toots. Let's make tracks. We don't want the ship to sail without us.
Oh, no, Mr. Franklin. I cannot go with you. If my fiancé dies, I should never forgive myself. And if he lives, all this excitement will have aggravated his spleen. I must stay to look after him.
But what about bringing God to the heathens?
I am sure God will find a way into their hearts without me. I am confident that one day your country shall be full of people who live peacefully together, respecting each other's beliefs.
But I love you, Toots.
You may love me, but Mr. Boggart needs me. Where you're going, I can't follow. What you've got to do, I can't be any part of. Mr. Franklin, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hillock of oats in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that.
Okay, Toots. See you around. Play it, Kennedy. Here's looking at you, kid.
Here's looking at you, Mr. Franklin.
Notes for the meeting of the Fair Intellectual Club on...
Good morning, Isbel.
Oh, Marjorie, thank God you're here. And you seem cheerful. Mr. Boggart lives?
More than that. He is rejuvenated. The lightning strike completely eradicated his joint pain, his leg cankers, his ulcerated bowel. He says he feels 20 years younger and wishes to marry as soon as possible. He is eager to get to the wedding night. I must confess that I am too.
Oh, I am glad.
Alas, since our trip was called off, I suppose you have not escaped your marriage. You shall be wed to the Earl of Linlithgow soon.
No. He heard that I had planned to run away with another man and has called off the wedding.
Oh, Isbel, I am sorry.
I'm delighted. I plan to celebrate by taking a lover this evening. I am rounding up the usual suspects.
Miss Allison is here with Mr. Robert.
Robert, you live.
Oh, Mr. Boggart was transformed by the lightning strike. Has it altered you, Robert? Have you become clever overnight?
Oh, no. Still a proper numpty, I'm afraid.
Allison, I apologise. You will now not get to bring the light of science to America.
Oh, not at all. When I saw the lightning hit the kite last night, I had some ideas relating to harnessing its strength as a source of power.
I did not see that coming. However, did you think of that?
I hurriedly scribbled some calculations and managed to get them to Mr. Franklin before he set sail. He has promised to continue these experiments when he gets home.
That is some consolation.
I could not have gone anyway. I cannot leave Robert, and I do not think it would have been fair to take him. I see no way that a stupid man who merely has lots of money could ever make anything of himself in America.
You're right, of course. Oh, but I'd have loved to go to America.
Oh, well, we'll always have Edinburgh.
Play it, Kennedy.
Yes, pardonnez-moi, my gift seems to have deserted me.
The Fair Intellectual Club is written by Lucy Porter and directed by Marlon Imrie. It stars Jessica Hardwick as Allison, Caroline Dega as Isbel, Samara McLaren as Marjorie, Simon Donaldson as Robert, Gorton Kennedy as Kennedy, and Gavin Mitchell as Mr. Franklin. The music is arranged and played by Ally McRae. The producer is Gorton Kennedy, and it is a Absolutely production for BBC Radio 4.